This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter has nothing interesting to say.
This is Gil.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ENN. On a Wednesday evening, where we'll start off by saying good evening to Michael.
Hey, listen to my Mike Tyson podcast.
And then we'll say good evening to Don.
Listen to our station. Station for bums.
Both of you telling people to listen to things. That's the theme there. It's beautiful.
Lee tied it for the Islanders. We're tied at 2.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hey there.
17 minutes to go. Caps, Isles.
Let's do that hockey.
That's exactly right. So the NBA announced some guidelines as they prepare for the arrival of team guests into the bubble.
I'm not in love with this idea, by the way.
For the start of the conference semis this month. They are requiring players... By the way, Don, I thought the same thing as I read this. They are requiring players to provide proof of long-standing relationships with non-family members, according to this memo, which was obtained by ESPN. The NBA and Players Association negotiated terms that would preclude players from hosting guests who would be deemed as wholly casual in nature, including known by the player only through social media or an intermediary. Those without an established, pre-existing, personal and known relationship, as it's put, won't be allowed into the bubble, where each team will be allocated 17 hotel rooms for guests. The earliest guests could clear the quarantine process and join players is August 31st. So clearly, what you're looking for, ideally, with these guests are girlfriends, agents, best friends, etc. Not, for example, that LA work, as it's known.
Families, I get. You haven't seen your children in a while, but this just seems like it's a lot to do, right?
I think they're doing it for, I mean, hopefully not going out. They're doing it for sex. They're doing it so the guys who have been shut down and now they could have their girlfriends in there or their wives. I think that's what it's about.
Yeah, but by also allowing agents and friends and, you know, so what, their entourages can be in there?
That I don't like that.
Well, listen, I get it. I get it. Listen, you don't have to be married to be in love with somebody and have a long-term relationship or just your girlfriend. I get it. Girlfriends, families. But when you're talking about friends, I just think
if they're all following protocol, what's the big deal? If they're all quarantined, what's the big deal? They would see those people if there wasn't a quarantine.
But it's also a lot more people that you have to test and deal with. And also, these are people that not necessarily are going to feel the pressures that the players are going to feel, because as you get deeper into this thing, you know, the players are all going to want to stay socially distant, wear masks, and be diligent because they don't want to hurt their chances because they're trying to win a championship. But are friends that they allow in going to feel the same way? And now the NBA has got to be conscious of those people too. Hey, it'll probably be okay. Everything that they've done has been money.
Right. You know, so again, give them the benefit of the doubt. I hear you. When I read it, I was like, okay.
Yeah, but this is probably the only way that players agree to this. They want to have somewhat of a sense of normalcy and not just sit there in the bubble for 3 months and not see their friends and wives and, you know, their agents are important to them.
Let's go back to college football for a second, shall we?
Shall we?
Ohio State's head coach Ryan Day said he wants Big Ten football to start in January and is exploring ways to get the Buckeyes on the field as quickly as possible, like a spring season that could start in January with an 8 or 9 game schedule. The Big 12 announces plans to proceed with the fall sports season. They announced this officially this morning, joining the SEC and ACC as Power 5 conferences that are going to attempt to play amid the pandemic.
You know what's amazing to me? When we had... I'm sorry to, I did that to you.
It's okay.
But yesterday we were talking about the situation with Alabama. Like, they're not wearing masks down there. Like, it's an issue down there. And they want to play. The SEC in Alabama, in Florida.
I know. It's ironic. Or
yeah, but they have a lot
not.
Of the governors on their side. So, you know, DeSantis in Florida, let's go. See what Chris Canty tweeted out about an hour ago? Very interesting.
Yeah.
Strange hearing players say they want to, quote, fight for their football careers after college, close quote, as rationale for playing in 2020. I get that almost everything in life is a risk-reward proposition, but I don't think a lot of these young men are considering the downside to that choice. I think he's right.
Let's hear from Mike Oresko, the ACC commissioner, was on with Paul Feinbaum, and they talked about the ACC's plan to play football in 2020.
I think it's easier, in my view, to shut down than it is to go forward, because then, you know, you say, well, I'm washing my hands of it. I don't have to worry about it. But I worry about what happens to our student athletes if they're not in our protocols, if they're not playing, if they're not doing something that they love to do. We can talk about that, but you really do think about all the different aspects of it, and you have a lot of people relying on you to make the right judgments and to make the right decisions.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Money, he means. That was the end part. He means money. People want money.
Islanders shorthanded goal. They take a 3-2 lead.
Hey, now. Well, Don, you mentioned goals. Don, you had Columbus yesterday, right?
Yes, I did.
So did it hurt?
No. I had too much fun.
This is the man who won it. The game winner from Braden Point in the fifth overtime. He reflects on the historic goal.
I've never been in a game that went that long. I was saying earlier, I don't know how many guys on either side have ever been in a game that long. Definitely a battle, physical, mental. Glad we came out on top. I mean, I just see a rolling puck come to me, and I just throw one on net. I'm not even really aiming. Just sling one there, and lucky enough finds a corner. Like we've been saying, just the focus was great for our group. We weren't worried about how many shots we were getting or anything like that. We were just focused on competing and making sure that we were playing sound defensively.
88.
Don, how was Tort's post-game press?
I did not see the post-game. But you know what? He should be proud of the way his team played. I mean, that's the thing about Torts. He doesn't get caught up sometimes in the result. It's just, hey, we played great. And when they blew that lead the other night, giving up three goals in 4 minutes, he's like, well, the other 55, we played great. So he's always going to accentuate the positive. Listen, it was just you play that long, eventually, you know, a goal is going to come. It's just, what can you do? Seth Jones played 65 minutes, which is an NHL record.
Fourth
and the Bruins in Carolina had to play this afternoon because of the neutral sites that were going through. They had to postpone the 8 o'clock game. They moved that to 11 o'clock, and Boston won in double overtime. So it's been great.
Fourth longest game in NHL history.
And with no red line, and with it being more of an offensive game than the other four, it was pretty astonishing that it went as long as it did. Crazy.
You know who else had a big night last night?
Oh, yeah.
Your guy. Dame Dalla. Here he is, Dame Lillard, talking about wanting more respect.
Dame, after the game, the emotion and anger you showed and saying, put respect on my name, who was that directed at?
Whoever has something to say.
Was there anybody in the arena that in particular?
it was just a bunch of people on that, on the opposite side, that press row area. And those are the people who usually have something to say or put out whatever they put out. So it was just in that, that direction.
I gotta tell you what, one thing that the Last Dance taught me.
Yeah. They make
guys,
things up.
It's Tonka trucks. They need something to motivate them, and they get angry at things that don't mean anything. I mean, good for them if that's what does it for them. But who doesn't believe in Damian Lillard? Who doesn't believe in him? Who thinks he's a bad player? No one.
But for the record, in life, people make mistakes, get angry, and direct it at other people. Mm-hmm. Or people are emotionally hurt by something. It makes them upset, and what they do is they direct that anger and sadness out towards other people. You know, but in sports, you can do that with such purpose. I mean, let's be honest, guys. He was angry, and I love Dame. This is not a knock. This is just kind of more being psychological about the whole thing, and this is just my opinion. But Dame was upset that he missed those free throws the other day. So first, he was mad at Patrick Beverley. And the Rockets for being happy that he missed the free throws.
Yeah,
now he's missed that other. Now exactly. Now he's mad at the other people had something to say. Guys, he's mad at himself. He's an incredible NBA player, and down one in a critical game, a guy who shoots what close to 90% from the stripe missed both free throws. And since then, he's had back-to-back games over 50. He's pissed at himself, and right. He's taking it out on everybody else. And listen, who cares? I just find it funny to ask, who is it you're mad at? He's mad about what happened over the weekend.
But, you know, we always circle back to Greg Buddle's comments, right, where he doesn't believe in bulletin board fodder. I don't know if this, Michael, proves that or works against that.
Right, like, me neither.
Like, on the one side, you could say, well, see, this shows that bulletin board fodder matters. Look how fired up Lillard got. But on the other hand, I think it disproves it because it shows you that they'll find something else. Even if there's nothing on the bulletin board, they'll fake it.
Yeah, but I mean, the basic premise of what Greg was saying, that you shouldn't, I mean, you should be going all out at all times. You don't need to be motivated. Obviously, players need to be motivated. Jordan needs to be motivated. So I believe in bulletin board fodder, whether it's legitimate right. or not. Something is said, or some kernel of some small truth has ticked them off. I think it works. So I think that Greg's basic premise is wrong. I think that players do need something to motivate them.
But the fact is, they'll find it. You know, whether it's something that's said in the paper, something that's said to them on the sideline, whether that happens or not apparently is irrelevant. So they'll find something else.
Oh, then you have to believe in mind games because there is something that needs to motivate.
But clearly, you know, I don't think it's any coincidence that missing those free throws, he scored, what, 111 points in two games? So
now, it's a good point.
Yeah.
Also, He joined a club yesterday. It was his third 60-plus point game of the season. Do you know how many people have done that? Three 60-point games in one season.
All right. I will say, well, let's count them, right? I think Jim Harden did it, right?
Nope.
No. Well, then that run of all those big games, you never
not 60 twice.
Three times.
Well, it's always good to guess, Wilt.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. And now you should stop guessing.
Wait, because Wilt did it twice?
No, because it's just him and Wilt.
Oh, I thought you said there were three.
No, I said guess how big it is. No, he had three 60-point games. He's the only other player besides Wilt Chamberlain to do so. He's also the second shortest player ever with consecutive 50-point nights. AI did it and was only 6'0", maybe 5'11", depending who you ask, and Dame Lillard 6'2".
Here's unbelievable stuff. Here's my prediction. Within 5 years, that list will triple.
Let's write it down. Who can keep track of this?
Because that's all they're doing.
Triple
throwing threes up.
It doesn't. But why is no one else doing it then, though?
If
Wilt's the
start.
Last one, Steph hasn't done it. Clay hasn't done it.
It'll start to happen.
LeBron hasn't.
Then it'll become
done
a thing. Because then it'll become a thing.
It's not becoming a thing. I'll argue with this. I'll die on this hill.
On the other side of it is that does this happen in a normal situation? I'm not taking anything away from what Lillard has done. He's amazing, but
two of the 60-pointers didn't happen were during the regular season.
But, like, you know, the Mavericks, what were they playing? They had already clinched. So I don't know. It's there's no way but that the Portland can catch Dallas. So you just wonder if that are the circumstances.
Nobody's 60, playing even if it's in Rucker.
You know, nobody's D'ing up at all in this bubble for some reason.
What was the other thing we argued about, though, Don? You believe that all these basketball records are going to be shattered now, scoring wise? Oh yeah, you thought Wilt's 50-point average is going to happen again.
No, that's definitely not happening. It was we were talking about getting to 100, and how
you thought someone get 100.
That's never going to happen. I think it will happen because you already saw Kobe before the three became a thing. Get to what? What was the number? 81.
Yep.
All right. So now with threes getting hoisted up all over the place, you've got guys that have layups that are still kicking it out.
Islanders have scored again.
Also, a little bit of news from Jeff Passan. Joe Kelly, the Dodgers reliever, who was suspended for 8 games, had his ban reduced to 5 games on appeal.
All right. We figured that was going to happen, but still
a
lot.
That's a little bit more.
By the way, gorgeous goal from the Isles there. 4-2 now, Islanders.
Anthony Beauvillier. So I picked the Islanders in 7. So they take game 1, or at least they're 8 minutes away from doing so.
No spectators for the Masters this year. They've already announced. Now, it's not being played until November 12th to the 15th.
And all those cheap prices, by the way, for hot dogs and soda, they're going up to actual prices now.
They're going to have to quadruple the prices now. It's going to be expensive. But, yes, they've already announced you will not see any fans there. By the way, talk about a sport where you really don't care. I mean, yes, it's cool. The big crowds are cool, but not really. I'm good.
Well, you said the Ryder Cup is the only one.
The Ryder Cup's the only one where it's about the crowd. Now, that period of time has gotten a little bit more filled up with big sports. The Mike Tyson-Roy Jones fight has been postponed.
Oh, you're kidding.
The exhibition with Roy Jones Jr. has been pushed back from September 12th to November 28th. That would be Thanksgiving Saturday night to you and me. Tyson said, changing the date to November 28th will give more people the opportunity to see the biggest comeback in boxing history. The temporary inconvenience will last longer than Roy Jones Jr. He better be ready. I'm coming full force.
I don't understand why anybody would agree to do that on the Saturday after Thanksgiving. So he can't even enjoy his Thanksgiving. Can't load up on turkey. Nothing.
You know what?
You completely ruin your holiday.
Let's take this moment to go back in time. I mentioned it earlier. To when after a fight, I believe it was with Lou Savarese, or I can't recall, Orland Norris, I don't remember, when Mike Tyson told Jim Gray about his back problems.
I broke my back.
What do you mean by that?
My back is broken.
What, a vertebrae or
well,
what portion?
Spinal.
Now, I think they're missing a tremendous opportunity here, and hear me out.
Okay.
They should fight the day before Thanksgiving. Think monster numbers. Why even compete? You know the NFL is going to be probably playing on Saturdays.
It's a good point.
When college football gets postponed, right?
No, Wednesday. If you do it Wednesday, you get all you before everyone's sports out on Thursday and Friday. I hear you.
Yeah, well, it's not going to be the normal, like, where everybody's out because they got the next day off or whatever, but who knows? Maybe things get a little better.
But to your point, Don, that's actually even better. So this year, people aren't going to be out partying, but they will probably already be, you know, at their family's houses.
Right.
And so that Wednesday night, everyone's in the house, and they're going to be hanging, drinking together, whatever, day before Thanksgiving, boom,
nothing
fired up.
Because usually in normal circumstances, you'd have NBA, NHL, college football but you'd have NBA and NHL on that Wednesday. No, you won't. They're not going to start their seasons back up until December. And football won't play on Wednesday. They'll probably play every other day but Wednesday. There'll be nothing going on that day. And everybody's going to be home.
I got to tell you, Dom.
You got to get in touch with somebody on that.
I might do it. I might tell somebody right now.
And opposed to that Saturday, with no college football, but the NFL will probably have a package of games.
And Saturday night, people are kind of worn out from a long week. Wednesday, they're getting geared up. Yo, let's watch the Tyson fight tonight. Yeah, you're sitting around the
house. I'd watch it.
You're sitting around the house. You have, like, let's say your brother's over. You're just sitting in the house. You want to throw it on? Yeah, let's throw it on.
He's a very scared man.
Zero competition on that day. Zero. Nothing.
Thank you for being such a gentleman.
No college basketball. No college football. NBA and NHL, technically, they're off season.
And now Saturday, the only competition they'll have probably is the NFL.
And that's pretty major, right?
But we're assuming they'll have the NFL. We don't know. Normally, you wouldn't.
But even if there's nothing going on that Saturday, it's still Saturday as opposed to the Wednesday.
But everyone is still with their family that Saturday. It's not like people are gone yet. Everyone's still in the house, usually eating leftovers, sitting around. So it's not a bad day if there's no football. But if there's 8 o'clock football, that's trouble.
Yeah, but if
football!
You're
yes, football!
I'm telling you, that Wednesday, what are you doing? What are you doing that Wednesday?
Nothing. I love it.
You're searching for a movie. Maybe Home Alone's on.
Sex?
Yep. Well, that's an option.
Maybe the original King Kong is going to be on. You're going to be trying to find all that stuff. March of the Wooden Soldiers.
Gladiator is 34. 35 is Titanic.
But instead, you're going to see Mike Tyson trying to come back against what many believe is one of the greatest pound-for-pound boxers of all time. Come on. Self.
Don, you're getting yourself hyped now. Don wasn't even interested. Now he's fully in. That's how appealing it is on Wednesday.
All I have to do to get me interested is just change the date.
That's it. Now, Cowboys spoke today. First, let's hear from Dak Prescott talking about how affected he is by not getting the extension done before camp.
It doesn't. Business is business, and once I'm in the locker room and part of this, a part of what's going on now, I don't focus too much about the future, just more about today. So with that being said, I'm excited as hell to be a Dallas Cowboy. I've been a fan of this organization and been a fan of this program for years. I love every bit of the opportunity and the platform that I get to be the quarterback here. I love this team. I'm excited about what we have, what we can do and accomplish this year. So no frustration as far as that. Once again, I believe something will get done. And with my hopes, I believe I'll be a Dallas Cowboy for the rest of my career. So
now let's move on to probably the more interesting piece of audio, which would be Jerry Jones, who was asked about the national anthem issue. Will people kneel? And, of course, we remember he was not supportive of any of his players potentially kneeling in the past. So
what are you talking about?
Jerry
They went to midfield, arm-in-arm, remember?
Oh, yeah, the arm-in-arm move.
Remember that here's gesture?
Here's Jerry talking about it.
That was then, 2 years ago. This is now. We have had very, very sensitive times. I have nothing to prove as far as where I'm standing with the flag and where the Cowboys stand. I have nothing to prove regarding my players and my support of our players. What I do want to show and want us all to be a part of is a word called grace. Grace. Not only grace in our actions, but grace in our understanding where they're coming from. I want our players to understand the perception and where they're coming from regarding the flag and the sensitivity there and the many memories there. And I want our fans to understand and better do because of what's gone on over the last few months. And want them to understand where our players are coming from there. And they do not feel like that the ones that want to basically do that, kneel, they do not feel like they're dishonoring the flag. I'm going to have grace.
Was I right earlier, Don?
You were absolutely right.
He hasn't changed.
No, because I'm going to tell you why. He's making it seem like something changed. Meaning, like, something shifted in the world. No. What happened was we were woken up to something that's been going on forever. So it's really not the world that changed. The individual and how we looked at the world changed. So the only answer really to give is, I was wrong for feeling the way I felt before.
Yep.
Not that nothing changed. The world is no different than it was when you were arm in arm with your team, refusing to kneel. you know, boycotting or blackballing Colin Kaepernick. And wherever you fall on this is where you fall on it. The point is that if you changed your mind, don't make it seem like the world changed. No, no. Finally, the message got through. But by having the response that he did, it sounds more like, you know what changed? The money changed. Back before, I followed the money. And following the money was blackballing Colin Kaepernick. Following the money meant to listen to my sponsors and not have athletes kneel. But now, since a lot of people have had their minds changed, now the money, following the money, is acknowledging the movement.
Yeah, I was not moved by that at all. At all. That was someone to me who's in the exact same place. If you can't mention the issue, can't mention police brutality, can't mention Black Lives Matter, can't mention even social justice. I mean, grace, it's a nice thing. However, got news for you. That's not really what this entire thing is about. So, the Kentucky Derby has eliminated general admission tickets for this year. So Churchill Downs is still expecting people. Less than 23,000 will be able to attend the rescheduled Derby under an updated health and safety plan. The plan eliminates general admission and standing room only areas and limits the total capacity to less than 14% of the 2015 attendance record of 170,000. That, Don, 23,000 is still a lot of people.
That's still a lot of people. But there is an internet rumor that the mint julep cures coronavirus.
Is that true?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's true, but there's a rumor.
Well, if so, this will be a really big proving ground.
Yeah.
Now, Rich Cimini got his hands on a U.S. State Department report.
Yeah.
And it doesn't look like great stuff for Woody Johnson. Johnson, in his current post as U.S. Ambassador to the U.K., quote, sometimes made inappropriate or insensitive comments on topics generally considered equal employment opportunity sensitive, such as religion, sex, or color, according to a U.S. State Department report. The report was released Wednesday by the Office of the Inspector General, and it recommended a more thorough review of the matter and what appropriate action should be taken. This is not great for Woody Johnson, Don.
He also went, I don't know if you noticed that in his comments.
There was
if I offended anyone. Yeah, and that's never good. That's not what you want to hear. As far as what the NFL is going to do about it, I think they've got an easy out, Peter, in just saying that Christopher is going to just continue to control the team. Even if Trump is out of office and Woody comes back, just Christopher keeps the team and he's the one that runs it. Rather than like a forcing the sell, because that wouldn't be fair to Christopher, would it? So is that the easy
out?
But the problem is
if Woody just loses his position and Chris keeps the team, I mean, Woody could still kind of just be running it at home.
True, but I don't think that'd be fair to Chris, though. Right? Would that be fair?
No, it wouldn't. I mean, it wouldn't be, but I mean, I don't know. You're the same ownership group. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I guess that there could be ways in which, you know, it's in Christopher's name. But you're right. It wouldn't stop Woody from, you know, Monday morning quarterbacking the whole thing, right?
No, certainly not.
I don't know. But there seems to be enough there, Peter, that him being forced to sell the team could be on the table.
Ladies and gentlemen, that will do it for ENN.
I hate to say it's the best I've heard in quite a while, because then it applies that they haven't been good for quite a while. No, no, no. They're always outstanding. But you build this as like earth-shattering, and it was every bit what you said it was going to be.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.